Our New Testament reading comes from Luke chapter 17, starting at verse 20. Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." Then he said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, 'Look there,' or 'Look here.' Do not go, do not set off in pursuit. For as the lightning flashes and the lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must endure much suffering and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so too will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed all of them. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling and planting and building. But on the day that Lot left Sodom, it rained fire and sulphur from heaven and destroyed all of them. It will be like that on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, anyone on the housetop who has belongings in the house must not come down to take them away, and likewise anyone in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Those who try to make their life secure will lose it, but those who lose their life will keep it. I tell you, on that day you will be two in one bed, and one will be taken and the other will be left. There will be two women grinding meal together, and one will be taken and the other left." Then they asked him, "Where, Lord?" He said to them, "Where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Susie. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way you speak to us through scripture. And I pray, Lord, as we take this Sunday where we kind of take stock of the last year and look to the future, Lord, I pray, help us to hear your voice. Amen. Well, I know what you're thinking. It's not the most obvious text for a kind of annual meeting Sunday, is it? I mean, what on earth is Andrew about to say to us? After the two and a bit years we've had, surely something a bit more encouraging might have been appropriate. Well, do you know what? A few weeks ago, a group of us took part in a church leadership conference. And I must admit, if I'm honest, I booked it for us because actually what I wanted was something for us to do together as a staff team and a leadership team. And beyond this conference being organised by a well-trusted source, if I'm honest, I hadn't really looked at any of the details beyond the start time and how to stream it. And anyway, this conference begins and they announced that the theme was transformation. Nobody, given our church vision to be transformed by Jesus and to transform the world with Jesus, was more surprised than I was. And over the next 2.5 hours of that conference, God spoke powerfully to us, as if he was underlining with a big, bold, fat marker pen all that we've spent the last couple of years talking about and trying to discern. And in just 5 words of scripture, God spoke to me and shook me up, hopefully in a really good way. And today I'm going to speak on just 3 of them, of the words we heard. The other 2 I will save for another day. And just to caveat it with, please don't panic, the 3 words are not fire and sulphur. But this passage in Luke's gospel is all about the coming kingdom. And it's Jesus outlining this kind of now and not yet life of the kingdom. How we see the kingdom in part in our lifetime now. And one day in the future, Jesus will return to judge all things and to fully establish his rule and reign on earth, when heaven will quite literally come to earth. How and when? We don't simply know. Even Jesus says in Scripture, even he doesn't know the timing of that return. Only the Father knows. And across this passage, we then have a bit of a discussion of end time stuff. Signs in the sky, some taken, some left behind. It's proper apocalyptic in the truest New Testament and Old Testament sense of the word. Now, I can't claim to fully understand all of it, but I suppose the one thing I do know is this, is that one day these things will come to pass and we are to be ready. I don't want to be the one that gets left behind out of the two. I don't want Susie left behind either, that's for sure. But, you know, I know that this stuff will come to pass at some point, and I know we are to be ready. Now, I'm not about to claim that the end times are upon us, but there are striking similarities between the chaos that Jesus describes and the chaos that we are still living with. We're living with plague of biblical proportions. We're living with war. We're living with social injustice, even famine around food and fuel prices. And that's before we get to climate change. Before this pandemic, you could put on your heating, not worrying if you had to choose between that and your Tesco shop at the weekend. And into all that chaos in which Jesus describes in the chaos of our own modern world, Jesus drops three words of wisdom. Three words that govern how we are to be in chaotic times. And I believe that what I heard at this leadership conference, what the wonderful speaker Christine Kane shared, was very much for us today. And those three words are remember Lot's wife. Those were the three words that God spoke to us that morning and said to us over and over, remember Lot's wife. Now, you might be like me, you've probably not heard a lot of sermons on Lot's wife, me either. But she's clearly significant because Jesus tells us to remember her. In fact, there are apparently 170 women mentioned in the Bible. And Jesus directly commands us to remember only one, Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Mary doesn't get the same look in, you know, Ruth. So many wonderful, amazing female people, characters and people in the Bible. And yet the one we're to remember is Lot's wife. Now, given that the only other use of things that we're told to remember is what we would now call communion, that means we should pay attention and give it its right due. Because this is teaching from Jesus for a time such as this. Well, what do we know about Lot's wife? Well, actually very little, but the scant bit we do know is very clear in Genesis 19, verses 16 and 17. And this is what we're told. But Lot lingered. This is Sodom and Gomorrah is burning, about to be destroyed, but Lot lingered. So the men, who we've already been told just in a few verses before were actually angels, seized Lot and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and left him outside the city. When they brought them outside, they said, flee for your life and do not look back or stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the hills or else you will be consumed. So here's the picture. Sodom and Gomorrah are being destroyed and God sends angels to deliver Lot and his family. I mean, they are quite literally grabbed and pulled to safety by the Lord. And the angels give them just one instruction. They say, do not look back. Because God's promise is for your future. You've been delivered from destruction so that God can bring you into the fullness of his promise in the future. But what happens? Well, we're probably all familiar with the story. Lot's wife looked back and she becomes a pillar of salt. That's what it says in verse 26. And that's all we know about her. What's that about? Well, instead of trusting in God's promise for what was to come, she looked back, and as she looked back, she got calcified. She literally got stuck. And if we're honest, who amongst us hasn't spent time this last 2 years looking back, wishing about things that are no longer here? I mean, I have. You know, we have been through so much transition, so much change, and nothing is quite like it was. We're living in a time now that social commentators are referring to as a grey zone. And what they mean by that is that the certainties of what we knew are gone, but the future is not yet clear. And you see that across so many different swathes of our life and our world. Disruption is an uncertainty, are going to be a continued part of our lived existence for the next few years at least. And now we might be looking back and longing for a life before the pandemic, wish that things were totally back to normal, all those, oh, I just can't wait until I get back to. But the danger, of course, is that if we spend too much time doing that, we're in danger of becoming calcified. We're in danger of becoming stuck looking back. And of course, the Bible always focuses us forwards on the promises that Jesus has given us, because the kingdom is a forward-moving movement. Jesus is always leading us forwards into more of him. Because we're a people who are hallmarked by hope. You know, the resurrection hope we've been celebrating that we have in Jesus gives us hope for our futures. The writer of Hebrews says that in troubled times, Jesus is like an anchor, bringing stability. And it's that stability and that anchor that I know so many of us have experienced over the last 2 years. It's that that brings us hope in uncertain times. And of course, our challenge right now is to remember Lot's wife. That as we start looking to what happens next, we need to look forwards to where Jesus is leading us. Otherwise, we might already miss what he is doing. And to put my APCM hat on for a little while, it's worth just flagging that in the last 2 years, Jesus has been busy. In no sense has the church paused. Over the last 2 years, just in our little neck of the woods alone, Jesus has planted a new worshipping community amongst online. You're all here this morning. Thank you. We've grown. We now connect with more adults now than we did in 2019. I've had conversation after conversation of people who have turned to Jesus in a new way and deepened their relationship with him. In terms of mission, Ealing Church's Winter Night Shelter have had one of their best years ever in terms of the level of care they've been able to give their guests. We as a church are about to meet in a couple of Sundays' time a wonderful new mission partner and have chances to directly serve those on the edges of our own community here in Hanwell. Because in the past 2 years of all the disruption, Jesus has never stopped. His church never stopped being the church. Jesus never stopped leading us through and forwards. We've seen lives transformed. We have seen our world transformed by Jesus. And there is so much more to come. And in the next year, we need to fix our eyes even more firmly on Jesus. We have to remember Lot's wife, because if we look back for too long, we will run the risk of getting stuck. It's often the fear of letting go that freezes and calcifies us. But Jesus comes to overcome those fears, to help us through them. You know, in times of continued uncertainty for us all, we need to follow Jesus' advice for such times. We need to remember Lot's wife, not to long for what was, but to fix our eyes on him, to look for the present hope in Jesus, and to allow Jesus to keep bringing us through the present with the hope of his promise for our future and seeing him at work in us. Amen. We're going to pray.